the rest of the story. One night in 1931, a frail, nervous, physical wreck of a man was committed to a sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan. Burdened with remorse for what might have been, terrified by what lay ahead, this man, almost 60, had so suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that he was convinced in his twisted reasoning that even his family was against him. His fortune, $40 million, gone, his business wiped out, his health broken. He wrote farewell notes to his family and stretched out on the sanitarium bed to wait for the end. But when Jim awakened in the sanitarium in the pre-dawn dark, he discovered he was still alive. At first he was disappointed. But in some vague way he figured there must be a reason. Restless and apprehensive, he got up and got dressed. It was still dark. Round-the-clock nurses had been assigned to watch him. It was between shifts, though. He might elude them if he moved quickly. He moved quickly. Drawn by some obscure magnetism, Jim tiptoed downstairs. The immense aloneness was closing in, but suddenly he heard music. It was a song. No, it was a hymn coming from the sanitarium chapel. In the blackness, Jim groped toward the source of the echoing strain. The music grew louder and more clear, and then he could hear the words. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Lonely and sad, from friends apart, no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. There was a light in the chapel. Jim walked in and found a back seat and listened. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Someone read a scripture text. Jim was not paying much attention. It was still the words of the hymn which had managed the quiet miracle. As Jim got up and started back toward his room, the night was ending. And after that miracle in the Michigan hospital, he regained his physical strength and his mental health. He shut out the dark and the dreadful past. He ignored the uncertain future. He locked himself into day-tight compartments, prayed for just enough strength to face the problems of each one day. And one day, he went home. There were no servants now, just a large empty house in White Plains. Jim would close off many of the rooms and live frugally. There was no fortune on which to depend, only a salary, a small salary. But Jim had discovered riches greater than all of his long-lost 40 million of paper dollars. And with that newfound faith, and at an age when many think only of retiring, he started over. He started over at 56. It was not easy. Yet where once he had relied on the power of money and it had failed him, now he could rely on a far greater power, and it did not fail. In the years that followed, he spread the gospel of Christian principles in business into the remotest reaches of our economic jungle. Before he died at nearly 100 years of age, the man who wanted to die at 56 was once again rewarded with those material blessings which are a byproduct of the good life. And today, his storefronts in 1,000 towns are an inspiring reminder that the American dream is still good. His personal reward was a more timeless, priceless stuff, a serenity of soul, which he could share with all of us and yet keep forever for himself. The once bankrupt multimillionaire, physically and emotionally shattered at 56, trembling, waiting to die in a sanitarium, and then led to light by a hymn in the darkness, was James Cash Penny. J.C. Penny. Now you know the rest of the story.